Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button. You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
On Stories from the Grey Hill Free Company.
They've got a mission to go collect some basilisks. We went and found that basilisk nest not too long ago.
Pause nods.
That we did.
There was this, Ben, fill the future chickens and pause for consideration in on everything. So we were heading up to, I guess, speak to Moramash to see if he knows anything.
Come with us. We're going to talk to Morama.
They would have... Yes, of course. It's, go talk to Morama. I'm so tired.
As a big group, you head towards Moramash's tent.
As we were getting to Grey Hill, we have had a plan to be like, look, we're going to talk to Moramash, but if things go south pretty quickly, like maybe here, they're the one, what do we do? So I guess the best thing is to pretend... If things are going that, we say yes, and then bide our time and do something later on. So all we need to do is, if something like that happens, I guess, yes, we attack. And hope that the rest of the camp don't attack us, eh?
It would be weird if we were the only ones not in the loop.
There at the map is Moramash. He's standing there with a bunch of other members of the Grey Hill Free Company. Maybe no one that you know by name.
That's worrying.
Just like people that you recognize as being part of the camp.
Yeah. Any new suits of armor?
No,
around?
No new suits of armor. No, they're probably...
No, like iron suits of armor in the tent, bit inert, doing nothing, just kind of there.
Anything?
Yeah,
just...
now that you mention it, yeah. There's like 400 of them all crammed here in the back. You know what? Actually, it would be unusual for you to not know the names of people from around Grey Hill. So you do actually recognize them. They're another group that runs within Grey Hill. You don't know them very well. You just know them like you know them well enough to have a conversation with them, basically. You recognize the elf Darkmoon. Mm-hmm. A Goliath, just like Big T, called Tipple. T, a human who is simply massive. maybe a head taller than Big T.
Fuck, I hate Bigger T.
And then finally, a half-elven ranger, James Hurd.
Cool, Adam.
For non-Australians... James Hurd is a football player, an Australian rules football player.
I think disgraced.
You know what? And then there's a fifth one, a rogue by the name of Essendon Football Club.
Good work, Adam.
That's good. Is it?
I'm shocked we don't have a Matrix Revolutions around as well.
I forgot. Yeah, there is also a Matrix Revolutions. They're another adventuring group. They're a tight-knit community, a tight-knit group. You know that they know each other very well and they're good friends. You know each of them in passing.
Yes. I kind of nod at them all.
I like that five enemies became seven immediately.
What do you mean?
They're standing around the map with Moramash, and Moramash is clearly having a conversation with them about one of their quests.
Was it Dark Sun, was it?
It's Dark Moon. Dark Moon. Mm-hmm. Who is an elven sorcerer.
Yeah, Dark Moon. Just their names, really. So Dark Moon.
Tipple is a massive Goliath.
Yeah. There's Bigger T.
Bigger T, who is a human, but just simply
just,
like...
Just a large person.
Like the mountain from Game of Thrones. James Hurd is a half-elf ranger. Yeah.
And an Essendon Football Club. And
Essendon Football Club is a thief.
And Matrix Revolutions.
And Matrix Revelations is just themselves.
Yeah, nice to see you all again. Matrix, James, Essendon, Tipple, Bigger T.
Hello, Bigger T.
They all nod at you friendly.
Flinch.
Muramash looks up from the map and whatever he was explaining and says, "Oh, is everything okay?
Would like to talk to you, Muramash, if possible."
But once you're finished.
Oh, well, very well then. In any case, once you get so far towards the sea itself, you'll probably encounter a small fishing village somewhere around here. I don't think it has a name, just know it exists. It's not big enough for that sort of thing. But once you've gotten there, you should be able to charter a ship, and I highly recommend. He writes down a little piece of paper. You find this person at the fishing village, and they should be able to give you a discount. They work with us much in the same way that we get a discount sometimes on healing services. Dark Moon nods and is listening intently. Anyway, good luck to you. Are you going to be staying around camp for much longer? Dark Moon nods and says, "Yes, for at least a few more days while we prepare." They, looking at you curiously, walk out.
I flinch as Bigger T walks past.
Bigger T flinches at you.
It makes me sick.
Yes.
Can I help you?
Yes. Is he not freaking out, by the way?
Oh, no, fair point. Probably when you spoke with him and when he started speaking, you see like realization wash over him like shock. And that last little bit that he was explaining just there, he probably actually hurried through it. You could tell that he was like surmising really quickly so that he could get everyone out. Global,
yeah.
Is everything okay?
I guess the price of being an adventurer, as it were.
Yeah.
Yet another one.
Yes. Is this what you've come to talk about? Do you wish to retire?
Eventually, sure, but no. I guess
what?
The I guess the clothes you got tailored are probably not going to fit anymore. Do you mind if I sit?
There's no seats here. I'm very sorry. Perhaps he calls past you. James, can you bring a chair in while you're on your way out? James Heard brings a chair in and sets it down for you.
Thank you, James. I appreciate that.
He nods. Yeah. Okay, thanks. He leaves.
I sit down. So, as you know, we had a contract to go help out some farmers.
Yes. Come to think of contracts, actually. Tavatine, what are you doing here? I heard you were with Herdek.
Oh, also Herdek and the other two. And I wait for Tavatine to name them.
Tavatine does not.
And the other two companions.
Flotsam and Jetsam?
Flotsam and Jetsam, yes. They, unfortunately, died in a cave-in.
Jesus. Well, yes, just bringing this to me. I will ensure that they are next of kin.
Yes. So we were going to the farmstead. I try and like rush through a bunch of this. It turns out it was a woman. I think it's a sorceress, and so she found an iron golem. I guess factory, for lack of a better word, and it was using all the material around, organic material around, to feed it into the machine to create the iron golems. So she was attacking a lot of the livestock, so it would have had to have a fuel source. So then we went into the golem factory to put a stop to it, and that's when we found Tavatime's team. And they had
Muramash turns around, and there is like behind him on the wall, there's this massive wooden shelving unit with scrolls stuffed in it at all different angles. Yep. He starts pulling at it, and he pulls out two scrolls. He pulls out his copy of your quest to deal with the witch destroying crops, and he pulls out his copy of Tavatine and Herdek's quest. He sets them out in front of him. Yes.
And so the iron golems were. We went to try and put a stop to the iron golem factory, and that's when we saw ran into to Herodek and their team. And,
this says that there's a sensor, a device to a sensor and a scroll. It seems some equipment that would help them.
Yes, they have that. Had that. So it just seems that whoever was wanting that. So we couldn't put a stop to it initially. I guess they turned it on, and so 400 golems up and left to whoever I guess made the contract.
Uh huh.
And they have an army of iron golems, and they were using the fuel source of the surrounding area. The fuel source being.
So, were these crops being taken without permission?
It wasn't crops, Moramash.
Oh, it was livestock. Wow, that's disconcerting.
And I would say a bit more than livestock.
So, huh. He starts going through the scrolls on that mission and on that quest and, like, reading through them. This one's was issued by, there's a central. So the way the quests get distributed is there's like a central area in the capital that accepts quests from all sorts of different locations and distributes them to the major cities such as Greyhill, and we get them from that central distribution center in Greyhill. They don't give us typically a name of contact. They typically they bring it out to us, then we complete it, we send it on to them, and they send us back the money. So I don't know who gave you that quest.
Yes. Oh. And I guess it's just another one more thing. So we came across another mercenary group. They were escorting some basilisks, but that was a quest that 50 chickens in pause for consideration. They finished that one. That was to find out where the basilisks were.
He goes back to the thing and pulls out that quest.
So they were to find. Then they said they it's a cave-in, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've got this registered as you completed this one with a cave-in. You didn't need to kill the basilisks.
Yes,
but... Yes, we don't like to fight basilisks.
But it seems that they used the... whoever was behind all the quests were getting the information so that they could then obtain these basilisks for... And they, I guess they wanted... Did the contract say they wanted the basilisk alive, or was it...
Yeah, it's to capture basilisks.
Yes. So they wanted live basilisks for, well...
Do you have this quest?
Yes.
I bring out all the papers that we took.
He grabs that one and pulls it in. All of these quests look... Their quests look remarkably similar to your ones, mm-hmm. except the insignia upon it is slightly changed. So rather than Greyhill Free Company, it's got Leopold's Errant Mercenaries decals and whatnot all over it.
And if you look at one of those ones, it has to find the Iron Golem factory.
Yeah, you also pull out that one and set it in front of him. Yeah. This is very interesting.
It seems that... There's a fair amount of things that are just sort of parts of a whole. Is it?
Moramash turns back thoughtfully towards all the scrolls behind him.
Sweating bullets, Adam. Sweating bullets.
He starts pulling at scrolls and starts setting them down on the table one after another. You're not sure what he's doing at first, but then you realize he's trying to order and map out these quests. He doesn't have a complete picture. Sometimes you see like find, then sometimes you see a full connected series where it's like find, kill, retrieve a corpse, three different quests that were issued to different groups within Greyhill, but more often than not, it's not complete. You can tell, like, you could tell that you've got maybe of a series of quests, you've got 2 out of 5. Okay. Or maybe sometimes you've got 4 out of 5, or sometimes you've got 9 out of 10, or sometimes you can see that you must have only like 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
But you can see.
Can we help with that as well?
Moramash doesn't let you. He's like a flurry of things. He's just grabbing papers, putting them down on the table. He's ordering them in a way that seems only sensical to him. But when he's done, you can make sense of it as well.
Okay.
Eventually, he's pulled out every single scroll from behind him. The massive rack that was before, that, like heavy, solid fucking oak wood. It was sagging a little bit under the weight of these scrolls. Mm. Now it is completely unburdened and all of the scrolls are on the table in front of you. He has, with the map, he's also begin mapping them out as well. And you can see how some things track along. You can see one quest that involved slaying a blue dragon, collecting its eggs, and then transporting its eggs from one place to another. Purpose unknown. You see another one, which is maybe one that you were involved in, which was defeating that band of kobolds. Mm. You see killing the kobold leader. Then the kobolds start going on the run. That's where you encounter him. Then you see another quest that's like in the area, in the same area, there are scattered groups of kobolds, and it's like kill kobold leader, capture kobold leader, destroy all kobolds, take kobold special item or something like that. And it looks like the kobolds are all being funneled into one area. There you see another thing with like a bunch of tribes of like roaming halfling raiders, which is something that occasionally makes its way down here. You see into the water it goes as well. There are seaborne ones, different events around there as well. Once again, you do not have a complete picture, but you have enough of a picture to see a definite pattern. Moramash leans back and you can see he is like stone white. His normally green orcish skin is like alabaster almost. He looks at you, Glupple, and he says, "This reminds me of something. I used to work in Jaren's outpost, in the constabulary there, in the militia. And my chief goal was to bring down a group of halfling thieves known as the Shorefoots. I captured one of their, or I brought in one of their leaders for an interrogation. And do you know what he told me? He told me that the reason that I would never be able to capture him is because he knew how to keep a secret. And he said, the best way to keep a secret...
Started sweating again.
The best way to keep a secret is to take it and break it up into little pieces. And you give everyone a piece of that secret. Yeah. And so when they look at their piece, they look at you and they say, I don't know what the fuck I've got here. And only someone who can see all of the pieces of the secret understands what the secret is. Someone has taken a secret and has broken it up into pieces. And you might be the first person who has seen the whole thing.
Yes.
Moramash was already standing, but Moramash like rocks back from the table and he says, we need to go to the capital. This skips over Greyhill entirely. We need to go to the capital and speak to the distribution center. We need to speak to someone above us.
Oh yeah, yes. I think with the papers we got from the mercenary company, I think it's definitely adding. We've got, you know, several full quests, if you kind of full secrets, if you will.
Over the last half a decade, the amount of mercenary companies operating in Greyhill, the surrounding areas, and especially the capital, has ballooned. We are a tiny part of a growing industry around here. If this is the part of the secret that we have found, I shudder to believe, to think of how big this is.
Yes. If you look at some of these ones here, and just some of the ones that, like, we don't even know what they were doing there. Like this one over here, it's saying, like, you know, these group of people here, they need to be stopped, but we don't know why. It claims they were bandits, but we don't even know if they were bandits. This one over here is talking about, you know, a group of goblins. So go and I mean, 50 chickens can be a testament for this. Not all goblins are raiders or anything like that. We're just taking the word of this. So
the population of adventurers around the capital in Greyhill exceeds the thousands. That is, unbeknownst to us, we have been conscripted into an army, and I intend on finding out who we're fighting.
I start nodding. This seems like it's going well, but I'm still scared.
So I guess we need to find out, I guess, who's commanding us.
We ride for the capital and we ride tonight. Moramash stands up and he starts collecting his things. I suggest you get ready. You are inextricably a part of this, and I need your assistance in this matter.
Yes, of course.
You brought this to me. You are possibly the... I am scared at what has happened to this company.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm scared, too, of what's happened here.
We're right. Moramash walks out of the tent and kind of gestures for you to follow him.
This is a message for all the seasoned and aspiring DMs out there. Do you wish to punish your players like the common dogs they are by rewarding yourself with treats? Well, then we have the solution for you. Our patented bad boy cards will make your players' lives hell while making yours great. Are they mad at you? Good. Tell them it could always be worse and threaten to use one of these bad boy cards. The complete deck of 50 cards is available from our website, sanspantsradio.com/shop, with each having a unique ability you can play in-game or hoard as a threat so your players never step out of line. We also have good boy cards available for when you want to treat your players to something good as a distraction to what's coming up. Grab either or both in a bundle while stocks last. Once again, that's sanspantsradio.com/shop. I get up very slowly and I look at everybody and I say, whew.
Everyone's kind of got like, there's a collective sigh of, what do you call it? A collective sigh.
I guess tonight we ride to Fairburn Point.
To Fairburn Point we go.
On your way back out, Hank stands up. How's everyone doing? Moramash puts up a hand. I'm so sorry, Hank. I love you very much, but not right now. Yeah. He walks right past. Hank sits back down. No worries.
Hank. Here's. I hand him like the gold that I've gotten over the quests.
Sure.
And be like, all my affairs are in order. Yeah. Whittles and
Hank
everything.
Gives you a scared look. Yeah. No worries, mate. I got your affairs. You're safe with me.
Yes. Good. Thank you.
As we're passing, Hank. I look forward to coming to your house for dinner with your family. It might not be soon, though.
You literally any night.
You're the best, Hank. Another hug for Hank. Mm.
How could I be the best when you're still around?
Oh,
Hank! Tree Stump forgets about the war. Tree Stump's walking on sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
You walk outside. Moramash is like snapping at people and barking orders. Horses. I need horses now. He's starting like the camp is immediately a flurry of activity as people run around to get things done. Moramash is ordering a trench to be dug around the camp and for defenses to be erected. He's also ordering a bunch of horses to be brought forwards. He comes back to you and he says, I think we should leave some people of our group here.
Yes.
I feel like...
Just to keep watch, of course.
I feel like it's worth keeping watch.
Of course. I think it'd be the most trusted. I think 50 chickens and paws. I think you should stay here.
I would love to not have to travel on a dirty horse.
Yes. I guess... Fire, this isn't really your fight. So you can stay here in here, or you could come to the capital, up to you, or Surin. I don't.
Where will the most fireplaces be?
Well, we might pipe. I mean, there's some fireplaces around here in camp if you wanted to have a look, and perhaps that, or we could.
Okay.
We could head to the.
That breaks my heart.
We could head to the capital and to Fairburn, and if there's some fires.
Okay.
Surin?
What about if you make new friends here who are going to lots of different adventures, and then you can just go with them and check the fireplaces when you go on the adventures? That might be a bit better because we're only going to one place, which is a city.
Fire nods. Okay.
Yes. I guess.
We'll be back, okay?
Welcome.
I'll go make some friends. I'll be back.
Welcome to the Greyhill Free Company.
Fire turns around and says, thank you. and then wanders off and wanders like literally to the first person and says, "Hi, would you like to be friends?"
I've died.
She's going
to I'm sad. Obviously, we can't. Like,
she's going to be all right.
We can't take her. It's so dangerous. Yeah. But like, there'd be so many fireplaces. There'd be so many fire.
But she's from the realm of fire.
We wouldn't find it anyway.
She's from the realm of fire, isn't she?
We don't know.
You don't know.
We have no idea. She could be
actually,
from any realm.
I suppose because the way she described it, you can eliminate the elemental plane of fire.
Yes,
so you know she's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
She described going there, so she couldn't have been from
there. Right, well, that's something.
That just leaves the rest of the multiverse.
It,
yeah,
that does.
Heaven, hell, the other elemental planes.
Yeah.
The other hell, the sneaky second
abyss,
hell.
Yeah.
Well, there are some planes that are all the element, and she did describe a room.
That's true.
That so wasn't made of
We can take away those
element. So,
but there would be places on those planes that are like a room.
We can at least okay.
The cat
hang
is
on.
Red because of fire.
Oh, we God. Can at least so the realm of water. Surely we can rule that out.
Surely.
Well, you actually just can't because on the elemental plane of water, there are places where people who don't breathe water need to be.
And if you're in the elemental,
places?
They could.
Well,
yeah,
it'd be cold, man.
Oh God. Oh God!
So many
options. Describe it as just a room with a fireplace. That just can be anywhere.
All it does is rule out the realm of no fireplaces.
That's not a place. So at least that's good. So you have ruled
place,
that place out by it not existing.
Well, you say it doesn't exist. I don't know. Time will tell.
You want to play? You want to play in Jackson's D&D? All right? Because I ain't got time for that shit.
Yeah, we got to start looking in Corn Realm.
Yes,
Corn Realm exists.
Well, yeah. Obviously. A fireplace in Corn Realm would... Oh.
Did you say Corn Realm?
Corn Realm. Corn
Realm.
Corn Realm. Corn Realm.
Corn Yes, a fireplace in Corn Realm feels like a dangerous activity. A fireplace in Air
Delicious
Realm
Delicious activity.
Like either way, they're making friends. Let's...
Yep, okay, she's fine. She's going to be fine.
Is there any... do we think we're going to have a fight? Moramash.
Moramash looks at you with wild eyes and says, "I simply don't know.
Should we prepare? Should you?
I think we should be prepared for anything.
Is there? Do we have armaments for the people that can use them?"
"Yes," Moramash says. "We have things we can break out in an emergency. Yes. All right. Well, who are you bringing first? Because that will depend what I'm giving you.
I guess the usual team.
So dropping fire, it's Yeola, Chantel, Sarin Tavertine?
Yeah.
Moramash at the stables turns around, snaps his fingers and says, "Yes, that's right. We should. He hurries you over to, there's like an equipment tent, which is basically where, it's typically where you store magical items that you might collect or have or stuff like that. Stuff that's either sold to members for a price or held on for like a dire need or something like that. Sometimes you might be given an item to help you with a specific quest and then be expected to return it when you're done. Mm. In any case, he starts giving them out like they're fucking candy. Gluffle, yes. He says. He hands you a simple golden medallion on a chain. He says, "It's an amulet of health. When you wear it, you'll find yourself more hale and hearty. You frankly need it," he says, and he hands it to you.
I feel like a spring 75-year-old.
Mechanics-wise, your constitution is now 19.
Yeah.
Tree Stump, here. He hands you, Tree Stump, two, like, arm bracelets. They're long. They go the full length of your arm. And when you put them on, they automatically resize themselves so that they fit from wrist to elbow. They're like lattice work. They're also golden. They're like a lattice work of wave patterns. He says, "These are braces of defense. When you wear these, you should find that you'll be able to deflect blows with them." Functionally, Cass, your character now has +2 to your armor class.
They're beautiful.
"You're very welcome," he says. "Tavertine, here, take this. It's a cloak of displacement," he says. And he hands it to Tavertine. When when Tavatine wears this cloak, he projects an illusion of himself that is slightly off where he actually is, and so enemies have disadvantage to hit him.
That rules.
Sarin, here, take this. He hands her a mandolin.
Yeah.
That is a Canaith mandolin, he says. There are some spells stored within it that you should be able to access when you play it.
Oh, fancy.
Chantel, here, take this. He hands Chantel a cloak similar. Oh, I didn't describe the cloaks and what. All right. So the cloak that he hands Tavatime, the one that makes him like phase a little bit.
Mm.
So do you know what a displacer beast is?
No.
It's like a big cat-like creature. Actually, it looks a little bit like a panther, but it has two tentacles that come off it, and the tentacles have suction grabbers on their ends with barbed, like, teeth on them. So the cloak of displacement is made from the hide of a displacer beast. So it is, imagine like a cloak made out of panther fur, but also it's got those two, like, tentacles on it. The tentacles are functionless. They're just for adornment, basically.
Cool, though.
Sounds silky.
The mandolin, if you don't know what a mandolin is, imagine, like, a little guitar. It's a little guitar. It's got, like, a beautiful... It's made out of wood, like a bright, vibrant, browny wood, but it's got a latticework of silver all over it. And then the cloak that he gives Chantel is actually a half cloak, so it really only goes down to the small of her back, but it's a black with silver trimmings on it. He hands that to her. This is a mantle of spell resistance. While you're wearing it, you'll find that magical spells affect you less often. Functionally, it gives her advantage on all saving throws against spells. And then to Yeola, he hands a necklace. The necklace, it's a simple, like, silver, maybe not even silver, like a cheaper metal even, like brass or copper chain. And then on the chain, there are a bunch of charms. The charms are like a little glass vial with a different type of color or shaped gem at the end. Each of these little charms, when broken, casts a spell. After handing out all the magical items, Moramash returns to the little storage tent, cabin, room, whatever, and he comes back out with some other equipment. All right, perhaps some arms and equipment are in order as well, he says. And he dumps, over the years, the company has amassed a simply stupefying amount of clan-crafted weapons. And armor and other equipment as well, but mostly arms and armor from their many, 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 many defeated foes. Well, I guess he's like going through it. He keeps looking up at each one of you. He's like, he kind of fusses over a tree stump for a moment. Well, you've already got like a magical halberd. I don't think anything here is going to compete with a magically enchanted weapon, but perhaps your armor could be improved some. You wear...
Big smile, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You wear none.
Yeah.
Yep.
Barbarians, man. They're just like, everything's flapping in the breeze, I always assumed.
Yes, but you can wear some armor, he says. So?
Do you have any in that big bag for me?
Yes, I do. Do you prefer light or medium?
A bit lighter, please. I like to be fast. It's very scary when a big thing is fast.
Rooting around comes out with a set of just like a just enough to cover one's shoulders, chest, and back, a really heavy set of furs. This is Huskcraft studded leather armor, he says. He roots around in the fur, and you can see that there's little studs within the armor made out of bone. It improves upon regular leather armor by having... In addition to being quite sturdy from the studs, the bone that creates parts of the studs is treated. It's extra tough, he says, and he gives it a big old wrap. And I guess for you specifically, Tree Stump, it would be quite light.
I feel like I could break this. Who's this made out of? How many of them is it made out of?
I haven't foggiest, he says. In addition to all of the benefits of regular studded leather armor, Huskcraft armors obviously are made of heavy furs. Often in any, for substitute of like wood or metal, they will use bone like this one has. They always have a particular motif, be it wolf, snow, bear, death. For some reason, it's a cultural reason. the people of Huss, both north and south, they need their arms and armor to have a motif, like a style, a sense of character.
Pizzazz.
You can pick, if you wish, Cass, what the motif is.
Could my motif be fear?
How does that manifest?
The scariest face I've ever seen. But there's no circle around the face. It's just eyes, nose, mouth, and brows. Eyes, nose, okay. Eyebrows, mouth.
Huscraft armors, because they are fur-lined, grant advantage to resist cold weather. So should you be stuck in a blizzard, either regular or magical, as could possibly be the case, you will get advantage to resist said weather. Hey. Weapons, this is not a weapon, but weapons made out of made in the Huscraft tradition grant an ability called Puzzle of Bone, which means you can re-roll a one.
Ah.
To Glupple, what do you use?
Mostly magic. Around.
Yeah, you don't really use magic. Do you even have armor?
Turning into a bear.
He skips you and goes to Chantel. He hands to Chantel a orc craft set of armor, similar in nature to what Tree Stump received. Orc craft armors are made out of dull metals, and they have kind of a brutalist design. They are not meant to be pretty. They are meant to function correctly. And sometimes, as you encountered with Orcraft weapons, they are meant to be very devastating if used correctly. But break. So Orcraft armors give a benefit called intimidating appearance, which is advantage on intimidation checks, but disadvantage on persuasion checks. Like I said, it's made out of dull metals, but you can see that it's got kind of like a fur lining to it. There's a bunch of different awful, evil-looking sigils carved into it, mixed with some sort of strange battle poem. There's also dried blood splattered over it. Whoever got this, whichever member of the Greyhill Free Company acquired this off an orc, did so in maybe the most brutal way possible. To Sarin, he offers a tabaxi-made dagger. No, rapier. So the tabaxi-made items are fused together of seemingly random other objects, but work fine when used. They often have tales of daring or trickery written into them, both arms and armor, similar to how the Orccraft one had a battle poem stenciled into it. They never create heavy armors or two-handed weapons. Tabaxi culture does not favor either of these types of objects. The armor or armors confer a sneaky benefit, which means that they do not affect stealth. Weapons, however, like this rapier, confer gentle paw, which means that they count as light weapons for dual wielding. Also, they have another ability called contraband, which means that they all have a hidden compartment. The rapier that Sarin gets has a children's toy wedged into the handle right at the end, the pommel, that when turned around, in addition to saying, "I love you, I love you, I love you," every time it is twisted around, it pops off, revealing a little hole that one could stash maybe like a vial in. Finally, all tabaxi-made items are "hodgepodge," which means they have a 50% chance of being worth 5 times their normal price or nothing, because they are either made out of it's either a dagger made out of diamonds, or it's a dagger made out of spit and other children's toys. Odds or evens?
Evens.
This rapier, in addition to having a children's toy, the blade itself is made out of what one might assume is a normal rock, but upon closer inspection, one might see that it is, in fact, the inside of a geode. This rapier is worth 5 times the price of a regular rapier. A tabaxi quite clearly saw the inside of a geode, thought it looked pretty, and decided to make a weapon out of it rather than do anything else with it.
That's adorable.
God, I love tabaxi.
So good and pure.
They're perfect.
Tavatine receives a short sword. The short sword is Candanese craft. So Candanese, the major human metropolitan society, Their designs are mixed. They can be randomly any other type of clan-crafted designs. So this one is Elvencraft. So Elvencraft appears, it just has the appearance of Elvencraft, basically. So it's woven material. So this short sword is made out of wood and grass, which has been grown together. The grass is hardened and set flat so that it kind of creates like a barbed effect on the blade of the short sword. In addition to that, Candanese craft objects have resistant to change, which means that they have advantage to resist magical effects. They are lingeringly magical, which means that effects that do work upon them last 50% longer. And they have a cosmopolitan, which means they give advantage to charisma checks. The sword give, well, not that Tavatine's talking much, but people are so impressed with Tavatine's cool sword that he gets advantage to charisma checks from it.
That makes sense. If I saw a guy in like a medieval state, got a cool sword, like I respect them more and maybe we'll listen to them. They're at least holding my attention.
Oh, yeah. If someone's got a cool accessory.
Yeah.
I like him better than the other people.
And then to Yeola, the one we haven't done yet, Dwarven Craft. So Yeola gets a set of Dwarvencraft armor, which is great because she's currently wearing leather armor. So as a bruiser sort of character, she probably needs some, let's say, chainmail armor.
Yeah. Pretty, like, well, I think she didn't start as a bruiser.
No, she did not. Yeah. She had to be adapted to the bruiser role.
Yeah. The bruiser lifestyle kind of chose her, as it were.
Yeah.
Dwarvencraft must contain metal or stone in some fashion. You don't get Dwarvencraft clubs. Well, not wooden clubs. Suppose you could. It'd be made out of stone or metal, and surely it should do more damage.
What a club.
What a... Well, yeah, look, hey, that's...
It's like a lead pipe at that point, right?
That when club
does a,
is...
When does a club become a pipe, you know?
Well, it's got to have a hole in it, surely, if it's just a bit of metal.
Yeah, good point.
It, like I said, must contain metal or stone. There can be some wood or other material to it, but minimal, if at all. All Dwarvencraft objects are set in stone, as in they cannot be broken by mundane items or methods. It requires magic to break one. They are resistant to change, which means they have advantage to resist magical effects. They are weapons, are ancestral weapons, so they have advantage to hit goblins, orcs, and giants, which this is not a weapon, so it, well, I suppose if you took it off and... No, not allowing that. And finally, armor has sturdy frame, which means they can prevent damage from one non-magical attack a day.
Oh, cool.
Gluppel, finally, Mortimer turns back to you and it's like...
Yes. I guess I wear shields?
Shield, he says. Of course. He hands you a, let's say, tabaxi-made shield. It is obviously part of a door. You hold the handle to hold the shield.
Okay, sure.
Can I get odds or evens?
I hope this is a fancy door. Let's go... Odds.
It's just some random door. Anyway, there's also a part in... There's like a little compartment in the door that you can stash something. Maybe the door has... You know how you'll have like a little door within the door so that you can peep through and talk to someone?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it's got that on either end. Maybe this is like some part of a prison door. It's got that on either end and you can open up... You can open it up on your side to see like a little compartment. It would not hide much, but you could hide something small.
That's very good.
All right. Let's mount up, he says. He brings his horse out and gestures to... How many other horses? 1, 2, 3, 4. He gestures to 6 other horses. Mount up. We need to get going.
Yes, of course. I guess get Big T to help me. Someone can help me.
Sure. Well, with the amulet...
Oh, never
mind. It takes a little while to attune to it. It takes a little while to attune
get
to it.
Get someone to help me up anyway.
I'll help.
As soon as you put the amulet on, it's a slow trickling effect. It's imagine like an hourglass and sand is slowly pouring through the hourglass. But as the sand pours through, imagine you feel yourself become hardy and whole. Like you're young again. Before you leave, though, I would like everyone to bump themselves up to level 5.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
So I know normally we get you to pick your abilities and stuff for each other, and I would with this as well, but unfortunately Big T at this level gets an extra attack and extra movement, so there's nothing to pick. And Glubble, you get access to third level spells.
Yes.
But even if I made Cass fuck it for you, there's still a few days travel to the capital, so you'd be able to unfuck it in time.
Yeah, I don't know. Will I, though? Find out next time on Stories of the Grey Hill Free Company.